Today we come to 1 Kings chapter 12. We begin our study in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. And so Rehoboam will be anointed king, the successor of Solomon, in the city of Shechem. I don't know why it was going to happen there instead of in the capital city of Jerusalem. But anyway, at least he thinks he's going to be anointed the king over all of Israel. He will not, because God promised the 10 northern tribes to a man by the name of Jeroboam. So anyway, he is there in Shechem. Meanwhile, the followers of Jeroboam, who knew about God making Jeroboam king of the north, they hear about it. They don't expect this coronation to happen, at least not the way Rehoboam expects it to happen. Verse 2, when Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. Remember, Jeroboam had been hiding in Egypt from Solomon. Solomon was trying to kill him because he knew about God's prophecy, his word to Jeroboam, that he would be king of the north. And Solomon didn't like that, and so he tried to kill him. But now Jeroboam hears that Solomon is dead, and he hears about this big meeting of the Israelites in Shechem to anoint Rehoboam, and so he returns home. Verse 3. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, excuse me, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Solomon had hit the people very hard with taxes. He overburdened them financially and physically, and he was doing it to support his extravagant lifestyle. But now, those same people know that they have an opportunity to revolt against the family line of Solomon, because God promised Jeroboam that he could be king. And so really, it is up to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, right now. It's up to him. How is he going to be? If he reduces the taxes, if he reduces the burden on the people, they will serve him. If he does not reduce it, well, then they're going to jump ship to Jeroboam, because they have a choice now. God has given them a choice. And it's always best for the people when they have a choice of political leaders. Verse 5. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. Rehoboam wants to think about it, I guess. Well, what's there to think about? The people are overtaxed. They are burdened down physically and financially. They are about to revolt because of it. So there really isn't a whole lot for Rehoboam to think about. What's he going to think about? It's a black and white deal. He just should have done the correct thing. He should have lowered the taxes and lightened the burden on the people. If he doesn't, he's going to lose them. 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. Well, it is good, I suppose, that Rehoboam consulted with the older, wiser men. But it does not say that he consulted with God in prayer. And that's bad. That is bad. Because prayer can help us discern good advice from bad. I mean, if you're not close to God, if you're not prayed up and you don't have a close walk with God, you're not going to be able to discern good advice from bad advice. And that certainly was the situation with Rehoboam. 7. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. In other words, these elders say to Rehoboam, you want to know what to do? Serve the people with humility, and they will serve you in return. No one likes to be pushed around and treated like dirt. And loyalty sure is not one that way? Being a servant, like Jesus, is the right way to be, and it produces loyalty. Verse 8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. The advice to be a servant of the people and to act with humility did not set well with prideful Rehoboam. He wanted to be the big shot. He wanted to flex his royal muscle and push people around and play the big shot so he can feel good about himself, so he can feel important. People who act like that maybe do not know it, but they are announcing to the world that they do not feel good about themselves. Verse 9. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "Tell these people who have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist.'" In other words, the young guys, they told Rehoboam, "You tell the people, I'm stronger, I'm more powerful, I'm tougher than my father, who you say was too tough, and you're going to know how tough I am too." And they give him some more bad advice in verse 11. "My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." In other words, "I'm not going to just collect taxes. I'm going to raise taxes even more. I'm going to increase your burden, and I'm going to use military force to make sure that you pay and you do what I want you to do." 12. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. Rehoboam is a fool. He doesn't understand that God puts people in leadership to serve, not to oppress. He's a fool because he doesn't think he needs the support of the people. He thinks he can just use his army to force them to submit. He's a fool because he forgets that his soldiers are the people as well. 14. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." And so he's going to whip the people into shape. He's really going to show them who's boss. And he's going to demand even more taxes, and he's going to lay a heavier burden on the people. That's what he thinks anyway. 15. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word of the Lord, the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, the Shilonite. God had told Jeroboam in the days of Solomon that he would rule over the 10 tribes of Israel. And God is using the foolish attitude of Rehoboam to make that prophecy of his come to pass. 16. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel. Look after your own house, O David." So the Israelites went home. You know, if they're not going to receive anything but bitterness from King Rehoboam, then they're not going to serve him. They are taxed to death. They are oppressed without having any kind of decent representation at all, so forget it. They will not be ruled by a tyrant fool. Some things just are not worth it anymore. It's like one of the founding fathers said, who was it that said it? Give me liberty or give me death. You know, there does come a point where you say, this is it. People will only be pushed so far before they say, it's not worth it anymore. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. This isn't what God wants it to be like. 17. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. Rehoboam is left to rule over the 2 tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. which from this point on are referred to as Judah. Jerusalem is in Judah. So he has the capital city, he has the temple worship and the Levitical priesthood, but the rest of the country has left him. 18. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. The 10 northern tribes meant business when they followed Jeroboam and split from the south. They weren't kidding. And I don't think Rehoboam took their split seriously at first. But after Rehoboam sent the tax collector up north, and after the north refused to pay taxes and even killed that tax collector, Rehoboam got the message. These people are serious, and he hightailed it back down to Jerusalem just as fast as he could. The Bible says that hatred stirs up strife. Well, Rehoboam acted in a very hateful way toward the people that he was called to serve, and now he's got strife. He has strife now. 20. When all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered the whole house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 fighting men, to make war against the house of Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam, son of Solomon. Rehoboam will start a civil war, he thinks, to preserve the union. He just will not accept this split that really is of God. He won't accept the punishment that is being dished out by God. 22. But this word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. So Rehoboam, he's about to start the civil war, and right before he's going to start, God sent this word to a prophet to be delivered to Rehoboam, king of the south. And here's the word. 23. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to the whole house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again, as the Lord had ordered. Rehoboam was a self-centered tyrant, but he was smart enough not to disobey a direct word from God. The split was of God. It was judgment against Solomon and his family for idolatry. Rehoboam will submit. 25. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. Jeroboam has taken over as king of the north. And his first order of business, build up the cities, fortify them to deter attacks from Rehoboam and Judah in the south. 26. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. Now, Jeroboam is starting to think. And he thinks, you know, the people in the north, the people that I rule over, they're still kind of devoted to God. So they're going to want to return to at least worship the Lord in Jerusalem down in the south. And see, that scares Jeroboam, because he figures that his people will eventually join the south just to be close to the temple. He's afraid of losing the people. He didn't have to be afraid of that. He should have let the people of the north go down and worship God. And that would have been God's will, and God would have blessed his kingdom. But he panicked and he wanted to do things his way, as we will see. 28. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Jeroboam wanted to give the people up north a god they could see. So he makes two golden calves and says, okay, this is God. They are your god. And I don't think he intended this to be idolatry as far as worshiping a different god. I think he really intended these calves to be a representation of Almighty God. But God had specifically warned in the law of Moses not to do this sort of thing. And after, you know, the fiasco coming out of Egypt when the Israelites built the golden calf, how in the world Rehoboam could do this, or Jeroboam could do this, is just beyond me. 29. One he set up in Bethel, and the other in Dan. And so he set the two calves in two different cities, trying to make it more convenient for the Israelites to worship there instead of down in Jerusalem. 30. And this thing became a sin. The people went even as far as Dan to worship the one there. It was a sin to make these calves and to worship them. They pretended that they were Almighty God, but it was still wrong. God wants his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And these calves were not truth, they were a lie. And they were also an insult to God. God is not a cow. 31. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. Strike two against the north. God said no one from any tribe outside the tribe of Levi may be a priest. Jeroboam just took the average guy off the street who would not understand the law of God, would not understand the sacrificial system, all the rituals that God appointed. He just took the average guy off the street and said, you want to be a priest? Yeah, sure, I'll be a priest. Okay, you're a priest. 32. He instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And at Bethel he also installed priests at the high places he had made. On the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings. This is all about Jeroboam. It's all about what he wanted to do. He instituted the festival, like the festival held in Judah. This he did in Bethel to the calves, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he also installed priests at the high places he had made. And on the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built in Bethel. So he instituted a festival for the Israelites. Where is God in this? He is nowhere to be found. This is a man-made religion. Jeroboam tried to copy the holy religious feast which God ordained. He created a counterfeit religion with counterfeit priests and counterfeit ceremonies to serve a counterfeit god of gold. Jeroboam knew that if he could control his people religiously, if he could control their religious beliefs, he could control them. And that's nothing new. The communists knew that when they took over Russia. So they stamped out all religion. If they could just control the people spiritually, they would have them. It's the same thing that happens in the Muslim countries. Control the people spiritually, you got them. You've got them. Next time, chapter 13. Until next time, so long, everyone.